The words from Matthew 12 again. But the Pharisees went out and counseled together against Jesus as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him. And he healed them all and warned them not to make him known, in order that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Then there was brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and he healed him, so that the dumb man spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and began to say, This man cannot be the son of David, can he? In the name of Jesus. When the people see Jesus casting out demons, healing blindness, and all the rest, they ask a simple question. But it's a good question. This man cannot be the son of David, can he? David was the one given the throne in Jerusalem. By his lineage, the Christ was promised. So if he is the son of David, then that means that Jesus is the promised one, the Christ, to fulfill the Davidic throne. So we take a quick look at what this king is supposed to look like, because it's easy to get it wrong about who this king is and what he does. Which is why, after Jesus healed many people, he doesn't tell all the people who witnessed it to go out and tell the world. Rather, he tells them not to tell the world. Matthew 12:16. And Jesus healed them all, and he warned them not to make him known. Jesus did not want these people to make him known. Why not? When we look at it, and we look at what Isaiah had said about him, it's because they witnessed him and they knew him for the wrong thing. They knew him as one who heals blindness, who has power to cleanse leprosy, who goes around casting out demons, but he wanted them to know him as Son of David. The title Son of David will describe what the Messiah is sent to accomplish. To get to that, to rightly discern what the Son of David is sent to accomplish, Jesus told them it had already been revealed to them through the prophet Isaiah, Matthew 12:16. And Jesus warned them not to make him known in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him. He shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles hope. So here is what the Son of David is given to look like. He looks like a Lord who does not cry out in the public places to defend himself, but he lets himself be insulted and debased by those who are less than he. The Son of David looks like someone who, when he speaks his gentle gospel, people turn away, not hearing his voice in the streets. He looks like a man who proclaims salvation to the Gentiles, kindly speaking his gospel not only to those who already belonged to his Israel, that is, to his church, but also to those who are outside his church, speaking it in kindness, even to those who are enemies of his church. He looks like a man who will not crush a battered reed, though he could, but treats it with careful hands and binds it up. The Son of David looks like a man who, when he sees a smoldering wick, does not snuff it out in disgust, but tends to it, bringing it to strong flame. He looks like a man who, seeing those who have alienated themselves from him, treats them with such kindness that they are given to hear his name with joy. The son of David looks like no other king on earth, for he is no earthly prince establishing a kingdom of power and might, crushing the weak, but he's the prince sent from heaven to establish the kingdom which is eternal. He does it by ransoming sinners out of the kingdom of death and the demons, bringing them into his kingdom of grace and life. He is our king. When you're a battered reed, a sinner broken by fear of this world, barely hanging on, then he's your king. A battered reed he will not break. When you're a smoldering wick, a sinner smothered by fear of shame, choked out of joy in life, then he is your king, a smoldering wick he does not snuff out. In short, if you are not a sinner, then he is not your king, for he came only for sinners. But if you are a sinner, he came for you. He is the Father's servant to save the sinner, the chosen one, who has given his Father pleasure by saving those his Father loves. So this is Advent. We look for the coming of the Son of David, the promised King. We look for this King, though, as the sinners that we are. And that is the best news of all, for he came for no one but sinners. And when we see him come in the flesh as Mary's child, and then we see him take his throne on Calvary, then we see him bring that cross to us in his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sin, it is then that we rejoice in his promise that he will make his final advent when he comes again to judge the living and the dead, bringing all those who hear his gospel into the everlasting kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Amen.